The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
God, thank you so much for today. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to come to sing praises, God, to declare with one voice in unison how great you are. Lord, it's because of your greatness and you drawing us here today, Father, that we're reminded just of the gift of your Son and that grace in our life. And so, Lord, we ask now today that as we reflect on what it means to walk in faith with you, Lord, that you would challenge our lives and our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would walk out of this place differently than we walked in today because of a deeper relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to do my best to be concise but brief today, I'm going to try and slow down because apparently sometimes I talk fast. It's a Yankee thing, apparently. I don't know. I didn't know Florida was a Yankee state. I thought we were still part of the South, but who knows? But we've looked at this idea the past couple weeks, and it's an exciting day. We've got Rocky, we've got Ashley here, and they're looking at the next step of faith in their life. But as a church, we're looking at the next step of faith in our church as well. To bring staff members on and bring different people in is a step of faith. And so we as a church are praying that God would take us on our next step of faith. But it's not just us as a church, it's you as an individual. Because whether you realize it or not, God brought you here today because he wants you to take another step of faith. Man, last Sunday was wonderful. We had the baptism waters full. We had 10 people baptized. It was wonderful. It was great. We were watching people take steps of faith. But my question thought, the question that rolled in my head this week is, what's next for everybody else? Because there is still a next step of faith. And so we're going to continue from last week, our story with Abraham. Or Abram at this point in Genesis chapter 12, if you've got your notes or in your Bibles, we're in Genesis chapter 12. Last week we left off in verse number 5 and it said this. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and then they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moriah in Shechem. At that time there were Canaanites in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent on Bethel, with the Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And Abram set out and continued towards Negev. Again, we're journeying with Abram as he's taking these steps of faith to become Abraham, the father of faith, the father Abraham, who we look at his faith and we marvel at and say, man, what a man of great faith. And as we look at the next steps he takes, it's interesting when the story starts, it tells you that he arrived in Canaan. Started there in verse number 5, it says, when they got there, when they arrived. But then the very next verse says this, as they traveled through. Church, listen today, wherever you are in your Christian life, regardless of how far you've come, there's always another step. There's always another step. It does not matter if you've been a Christian since Jesus walked the earth, and somehow the moment Christianity became a free gift of God, you accepted Christ, and now here you are all these years later, if that was even possible, there's still another step for you to take. It doesn't matter if you were a Christian yesterday and that was your first time that you were introduced to this idea that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and you placed your faith and trust in him, there's another step for you to take. There's always another step for you to take, regardless of where you've come from or where you have gone. There's always another step of faith. The next thing that stood out to me was this, such a simple detail, but in verse number 6, it told you that there were Canaanites in the land. Well, yes, there were people that were there that dwelt there with Abram when he was there. But when you look and you study where this place was that he went, when he went to the tree of Moriah in Shechem, Shechem was in between two mountain ranges. And so there was a mountain range on either side of Abram, and Abram was right in the middle when he came to the land. It's the idea that taking steps of faith means that you and I are visible. Now, two ways to look at this. Visibility from foreigners in an elevated position. Any Call of Duty people, any you guys know what I'm talking about? Military mindsets. If I have the elevated position, what do I have? The high ground, the advantage, right? So in doing this, Abram puts himself in a vulnerable position. You and I, if we're going to take steps of faith, we're going to put ourselves in vulnerable positions. It's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be the nicest and the easiest thing to come by. But sometimes taking that step of faith means that we have to become vulnerable. We talked about last week when Abram left on this journey. He left his security. He left his family. He left those people that would fight for him. And the whole reason God had him do that is so that God could fight his battles for him. In making himself vulnerable and walking and putting himself between these two enemy territories, Abram was making himself vulnerable, but he was placing his faith and his trust in God. But there's also something else. Taking those steps of faith and being visible means that you're also an example. Do you ever think about that? We're called to be a city on a hill, but sometimes God takes us through valleys because he has people on both sides who need to see our faith in the valley. Sometimes God wants us to be visible as we take these steps of faith, and as we're vulnerable and as we're scared and as we're terrified or as we don't know, and we get that diagnosis from the doctor, or we get that phone call where the job we had is no longer the job we have, and all of a sudden we're vulnerable and we're exposed and we're desperately crying out to God because we don't understand why things are going on, and we're trying to figure out what God's doing in this valley. And God has you in that valley because he has other people on both sides watching you and your faith and seeing what you're going to do next, how you're going to respond, what step of faith are you willing to take in that time. Continuing on in verse number 7, as we take steps of faith, God clearly makes himself known. If you read verse 7, it says, the Lord appeared to Abram. Now, up until this point in time, Abram had not seen God. He just heard him. When you go back and you read the beginning of chapter 12, it says, Abram heard God say, get up and go. And at the voice of God, Abram's faith was obedient. But now, because he's taken steps of faith, God actually appears to him. He makes himself clear. He makes himself known. He puts himself before him and says, hey, listen, Abram, because you've taken steps of faith, now I'm going to reward your faith and I'm going to let you see me. But not just am I going to let you see me, but you've got to keep going in your faith. Amen. See, a lot of times for us, we don't... God, if you could speak a little bit louder, I'm having a hard time hearing you. There's a lot of distractions in my life right now. And so we use these things and we say we can't take steps of faith because we can't obviously see where God's telling us to go. And what God is screaming and we're refusing to hear is, listen, you're not going to see me until you take the step of faith. Wouldn't it be great if God just rolled out the red carpet and walked and said, hey, listen, come with me. Let's go, little buddy. Let's go this way. This is where we're supposed to go. And I could see him walking right there with me. That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. I'd love that. But instead, what he does is he screams and he says, you're not going to see me until you take that step. And once you take that step, then I'm going to reveal myself to you. Then you're going to get to see me. You're going to get to experience me in a way that no one else ever can. Listen, church, whatever our next step is as a church, whatever your next step is as a follower of Christ, sometimes what God is begging and pleading for you to do is just take the step. You're not going to see it. You're not going to understand it. It's not going to make sense. But once you take that step, he's going to reveal himself to you in a way that you never knew possible. Yeah. And he's going to make his direction for your life clear. Going on, as he makes himself known to us, if I could encourage you with one thing today, church, it's this. Steps of faith always take us to God's best. When Abram and Sarah have this promise where God says, hey, your descendants, I'm going to give this land to, Abram doesn't have any kids. If you remember last week, he was 75 years old when this journey started. Kind of past the child-rearing age he and Sarah were. And so now all of a sudden God comes in and says, hey, Abram, your descendants are going to have this land. And Abram's like, I don't even got no descendants. How are they going to have this land? But what it does, and when you and I take steps of faith, is God always moves us towards his best. I don't know how good your life is. I don't know how miserable your life is. But I can promise you this, that if you continue to take steps of faith towards God, he's never going to move you backwards in life. God's never going to look at your life and say, hey, listen, you were trying to follow me, But you blew it, so I'm done with you. Back to the start, you go. He never takes us backwards. Even in those moments when we think we're doing something that's glorifying and honoring to God and we're truly desiring to follow Him, and we maybe make the wrong decision or we make the wrong move or we do something that wasn't exactly what He planned, He uses that and He teaches us through that and He draws us closer to Him, and our faith is stronger because of it. Whatever God's next step is for you, whether it's baptism, whether it's a first-time relationship with Christ, whether it's joining this fellowship in this church, whether God's calling you to witness to a family member or a friend or whatever it is that God's calling you to do for your next step of faith, understand that once you take it, it's not going to move you backwards at all. It's going to move you further and further and closer towards Him. God's steps of faith always move us into God's best. There's little details in Scripture sometimes that I always like to dig into and find. Steps of faith bring us between the house of God and the ruins of the world. These cities weren't actually named cities at the time. So when it tells you that he camped next to Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, I may have gotten that backwards. If I did, you can flip it. Nope, it was right. All right. Bethel on the west, Ai on the east, there weren't actually cities there. But one day there would be cities there, and so as the author writes it so that people would know where they were, he uses these locations that had now been established. It's like if I were to tell you, hey, listen, to get to our church, you have to drive down until you can't go any further on Highway 1 because it's closed, and then you come and you pretty much dead end right into our church. Well, that doesn't really work anymore. Because the bridge is open. Congratulations. That's exciting. That's awesome. But here's the thing. If I'm going to share that news and I'm going to share it with somebody, I'm going to use locations that they're going to know. So when the writer does this, he uses these locations that the people would know, but it's interesting to me what these locations mean. Bethel means the house of God. So on one side, Bethel is Abram's camp between Bethel, the house of God, over here, and Ai, which becomes known as the city of ruins. It's like the author is foreshadowing to us the decision that's going to plague you and I's everyday life as we try to take our steps of faith. He says, listen, as you try to take steps of faith, you're going to be camped out between two opposing views and two opposing forces. And one side's going to pull you and they're going to draw you and they're going to say, hey, listen, chase after your own desires, your own pleasure, what gratifies your heart, what makes sense to you. Chase after that and go and do whatever makes you happy. And the other side is going to say, hey, listen, but on this side's the house of God. This side is closeness in the relationship that God desires for you. And so it's interesting to me that as the author writes this, he's telling us and he's capturing the struggle that you and I are going to face forever and always in our walk with Christ. The challenge between following God wholeheartedly and chasing after everything else except for Him. It's still the challenge that you and I face today. And it's going to come up even more in Abram's life as he continues this journey of faith. The next step, or the taking steps of faith, also does this. It teaches us to trust God's timing. When you look and you see the same place that Abram's camped right now, at the end is where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob called the promised land. So why did he have to leave? Why in the world? I'm right where you want me to be. This is the spot I'm supposed to be in. Later on, my kids that you're promising me that I don't even have yet are going to inherit this place, and this is it. But then if you read in verse number 9, he doesn't stay there, does he? Why? Because it wasn't God's timing for him just yet. Man, anybody ever pray for something and it hasn't happened? And then all of a sudden, after it hasn't happened, you start to realize why it didn't happen when you wanted it to happen. And you're like, man, thank you, God. What a disaster that would have been. And it's because God's timing is perfect. And so as you and I take steps of faith, what we have to do is we have to trust that God's timing is perfect. It requires us to trust that, God, you know better. And so if something's not working, if this isn't going the way I want it to, or God, if you're presenting an opportunity before me, I have to take it now because I trust that your timing is perfect. The next steps of faith, or the next step of faith for you, does one more thing. It creates a legacy of celebration and worship. In verse number 8, it tells you that Abram built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. This altar is one of seven altars of the patriarchs. Four of them were built by Abram or Abraham. One would be built by Isaac, and then two would be built by Jacob. This is the idea that throughout the legacy of Abram's family, time and time again, God proves himself. And every time God proves himself, they build an altar to him and they call upon the name of the Lord time and time again. Listen, how many of you have this shook me. I started not thinking about my kids, but I started thinking about one day I'm going to have grandkids. I'm just trying to survive like the next 18 years of my life with these kids. And all of a sudden now I'm thinking about grandkids. And then I started thinking about college and how I've got to save for college. And well, some of them I have to save for college. Some of them might not be that big of a deal. They take after that. And I started thinking about these things and in the investment that I want to make in my kids. But then this hit me like a ton of bricks. What spiritual investment am I making in their life? Not where are they going to go to college? How are they going to get there? Not who are they going to marry one day? What am I doing spiritually that's investing in their life? What steps of faith are they seeing in me that years and years and years, and when my grandkids come, they're going to get to say, hey, listen, man, my grandfather took steps of faith continually. I always told you guys how I got here, but I also told you a couple of months ago about how I got into ministry. I got into ministry because my dad was a pastor. So I grew up going to church and opening car doors for little old ladies on Sunday morning when they'd come in and they'd pinch my cheeks and tell me what a good pastor's kid I was. And I was like, yeah, and that's where I started in ministry. And all of a sudden I started to realize that this calling developed in my life. But before I ever had a dad who was a pastor, I had a grandfather who was a man of extreme faith. This guy had 1,000 acres of farm in Florida. Good acreage. He took 500 acres of it and said, hey, listen, there's a ministry that wants to build a camp for kids here. You can have it. What? You know how much you could have sold that for? You know how many orphans you could have fed for that? Like, what are you thinking? You know what I got the other day? That ministry that's there, they have a camp that runs. I have a conference center that runs. And it does amazing good work. Part of my biblical education came from a school that they started there. It's a Bible Institute. And I got a message the other day from my cousin. And she said, hey, listen, my daughter wants to go to that school. And she needs a recommendation letter from an alumni. Would you write it for her? And it was amazing to me as I looked back to the faith of my grandfather who never knew his great-granddaughter, and yet now she's going to a school that he helped establish because he was faithful to do what God called him to do. What seeds of faith are you sowing in your children, in your grandchildren, in your great-grandchildren's life? Are they seeing a person who follows God when things are difficult, when things are hard, when they require sacrifice, when it puts us in a vulnerable position? Are they seeing faith in your life? Are they seeing that you attend church and you sit in the same pew every Sunday morning? There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the steps of faith that God requires of us. God wants way more than that from your life. This morning, I don't know what it is, church, but I know that God has another step of faith for you to take. And so my prayer through all this, look, spoiler alert, I had to tell you this, but next week we're going to be talking about steps of faith again. Because Abram's journey is not done. And as we continue to look at Abram's journey, we're going to continue to see things in our lives that's going to cause us and challenge us to take that step of faith. So my prayer for you is continually going to be this. You will take whatever steps of faith God is calling you to take. I don't know what they are, because your step of faith is different from mine. You and here, confession moment, because we're supposed to confess things to each other. My prayer now for my life has changed. I'm not worried about what my kids' future is going to look like. I want to know that my kids are seeing spiritual maturity and faith and steps of faith in my life. Amen. And I've got to be better as a pastor and as a dad to show them that. That's my next step of faith, is that I'm going to take to try and do my best to teach them what it means to live a life of faith. I don't know what yours is, but I pray that you'll be obedient to whatever God calls you to take that next step. Lord, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for this chance, this time to come and just to dig into your word, Lord. God, as we look at Abram and we look at the next steps of faith that Abram took, God, we're encouraged. But Father, I pray this morning that we're also challenged. God, I know where my words fall short, your Holy Spirit does not. And so now, Lord, my prayer is this, that your Holy Spirit would convict, that your Holy Spirit would challenge, that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us the next steps of faith that we need to take in our walk with Christ. But God, I pray that we don't just hear it, but Lord, I pray that we do it. Lord, I pray that we're not just merely hearers of the word, but we're doers who, once we identify that step, Lord, we take it. Lord, maybe fearfully, maybe worrisome, God, maybe vulnerably, but we take it because we know that you're never going to move us back. God, you're always going to move us in a direction that strengthens and glorifies our walk with you. Lord, I pray that you would just be with our church, be with these individuals. Father, I pray that this fellowship would be a fellowship that's known for following after you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.